Hi everyone. Welcome back to From Trauma to True Love. This is the podcast where we look at how early trauma impacts our lives and relationships and how to break free to create healthy love. This episode is called Breaking Myths About Responsibility: From False Burden to True Freedom. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. How survivors are often handed responsibility that were never ours to carry, and how freedom comes when we lay those burdens down and reclaim what truly belongs to us. These myths about responsibility can trap us in shame, make us question our truth, and leave us feeling like we're failing. They tell us that if someone who harmed us takes responsibility, then we should be magically healed. That children are responsible for speaking up if something really happened, or that as adults, if we still struggle, it must mean that we're not doing enough, not doing it right. As a survivor myself, I know how heavy these burdens can feel because I've carried them too. And they made me question my truth, they made me doubt my progress, and they made me believe that I wasn't measuring up. But here's what I've learned. Those myths are lies. They don't define our worth, and they don't get to decide our future. So today I want to break down some of the most harmful myths about responsibility and show you why they're not the truth. By the end of this episode, my hope is that you'll feel lighter and clearer and more free and really ready to let go of what was never yours and to step fully into what is all yours. Because breaking myths isn't just about putting down the false burdens. It's about rising into the freedom and the power that's always been yours. Just have to locate it. So before we dive into the myths themselves, let me just pause and ask, why do these myths even exist? Well, part of it comes from our culture's discomfort with facing abuse. People want simple answers and neat endings, things like just forgive and move on, or kids will tell if something really happened, or healing means that you never struggle again. And so these statements like these are tidy and simple, but what they do is they let people look away from the messy, complicated truth of trauma and how it shows up in our lives. So another part comes from family systems. Families don't want to face that harm happened inside of their walls. So myths grow as a way to protect the family image, even if it means sacrificing the truth of the survivor. And sometimes these myths serve the abuser. If society believes survivors should have spoken up immediately or that forgiveness automatically means reconciliation, then responsibility shifts away from the person who caused harm onto the survivor. So when we talk about breaking myths, we're really talking about shifting responsibility back to where it belongs. And there's a surprise ending here, I think, a little bit. So just to take a little reflection and pause for a moment and think, what myths about responsibility have you heard, or what have you heard about responsibility, either from your family, your community, or even inside of your own mind? Which of those have shaped the way you see yourself? So just you might pause this and think about that a little bit, and then we can jump in. And start with a myth that I've personally encountered. It's the idea that if the person who harmed you admits what they did or takes responsibility, then everything should be fine. I believed that somehow their acknowledgement erases the impact. But let me share why this simply isn't true. One of the myths I've heard from my clients is the idea that if the person who harmed you admits what they did, takes responsibility, or even apologizes, then you don't have a problem. You don't have to deal with the impact of that abuse. And that certainly was not my experience. I did confront my father, and he did take responsibility for what he did. But even with that acknowledgement, the impact of the abuse still was with me, still lived inside of me, and still lived through my choices, through my beliefs about myself. So his words didn't erase the pain or undo the patterns that I ended up having to navigate in my own adult life. I still had to walk my own path to freedom. So for some survivors, the person who harmed them never admits it. For others, they do. But either way, our freedom cannot hinge on their response or what happens in that arena. Their responsibility is to own what they did. Yours is to not own what they did. But our responsibility is to decide what we do with the impact left in us, to decide what to do in the aftermath of the abuse, once we're adults, of course. So this myth exists because people live inside of blame and victimization and don't see the pathway to their freedom is taking responsibility for what they want to create in the aftermath of the abuse. It's more natural and easy to believe that if an abuser admits their fault, then everything is resolved. But the truth is, abuse has a lasting impact. Even when there's acknowledgement, we still have to face the ways it shaped our sense of self, our relationships with other people, and the way that we move through the world. So even if someone takes responsibility, that doesn't mean the harm is healed. Survivors still have the responsibility and the power to reclaim their lives and freedom. If you don't feel if this is you and you feel like you don't have the power, we just need to show you how to find that power because you do have it inside of you. I promise you, if I have it, you have it. So let's look at this in a little bit different way. If you've been waiting for someone else to take responsibility before you allow yourself to heal, then I want you to hear this. I'll say it again and again. Your healing does not depend on their actions. You have full permission to reclaim your life, regardless of whether the person who harmed you ever admits what they did. Full permission, full permission. And then here's just something to reflect on. Have you ever felt like you couldn't move forward until someone else apologized or took responsibility? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. It's common. It's normal. It's understandable. But then how might your freedom expand if you no longer tied your healing to someone else's actions? So let's rewrite this myth. Even if someone takes responsibility for what they did to you, you still have to take responsibility for reclaiming your life and your freedom, because freedom comes from discovering the truth of who you are. No matter what happened to you, what happened to you doesn't change the truth of who you are. What happened to you changes the way you think and what you believe about the truth of who you are, but it does not change who you are. All right, so while that myth puts unrealistic pressure on what healing should look like, there's another one that hits just as hard, and that's a belief that children will always tell. Like if something happens to them, they're going to tell. And I know personally how much shame and confusion this idea can create. So let's talk about why it isn't true. This myth that the children will just tell if something happened, they'll speak up right away, especially if an adult asks. Some also believe that parents will somehow just know. Like I certainly can relate to all of this, and it makes sense to me. And if this is your experience, it's normal. But here's the truth. Kids don't have the words to explain what's happening often. I think about how a child might say something like, "He's bothering me," or act out in small ways, but those words don't always reveal the full reality. And too often, adults don't ask the deeper questions. There's an interview I did with Jane, a friend of mine who was sexually abused by her brother, and that's what she went to her parents and said about her brother, "He's bothering me." Well, they did ask the deeper questions, and they did end up stopping the abuse because of what she said. But that is not common. So, but it's also something if you have kids and you're listening to this and you hear this from one of your kids, let it perk your ears up. Let it perk your ears up. So when children are abused, they carry an enormous burden of shame and misplaced responsibility. Often they can believe that what happened was their fault. Or they may believe that if they tell if something bad happens after, then it's their fault. They may think that they invited it or deserved it or somehow caused it. And that false responsibility can become so embedded that it follows us into adulthood, shaping our relationships and sense of our sense of self-worth. So let's talk a little bit about why this myth exists. And I believe that it exists because parents don't know how to ask their children, and children don't know how to tell. But the reality is much harder. Kids can't tell. And when adults believe this myth, then they might miss the signs that are right in front of them. And this happened to me one time. I was at one of those places where you take your kids to get photos. You know, like you take your kids every year to get photos. And there was a man holding this 3-year-old girl. I'm assuming it was his daughter. They were waiting for their turn to take pictures. And his hand was under her dress in a way that caught my attention. And I looked away. I didn't want to believe what I saw, but the memory won't leave me. I knew what was happening right there in public, but I didn't have the education to know how to respond. And the abuse I experienced myself made me doubt myself and what I was seeing. But in my body, I know what I was seeing, and I couldn't respond, I couldn't react. So this is the and that was many years ago. That was probably 30, 40 years ago, something like that, that happened. It's still in my consciousness. Like, I would have, like, I wish I had the words. I wish I had something I could have said or done in that moment. And then, of course, there's complexity around all of that. So let's just reframe this a little bit and say that instead of assuming adults will ask and kids will tell, we need to create environments where we can ask and tell. And that means teaching kids the right words for their bodies, believing them when they say they're uncomfortable, and asking deeper questions when something feels off. And that also means that we need to teach adults how to ask kids in ways that kids can answer. And that's not what this podcast is bringing to light, the issues around it. And now we need the education around it, right? Then how do we do that? When you take a moment to just reflect back on your own childhood and notice if there's truth in anything that I'm saying, were there moments you tried to signal something but didn't have the words? For me, I felt like they could just see me. They just knew something was wrong. And I remember my mom asking me over and over again. She saw something was wrong. I didn't have the words. And she asked me over and over and over again, "What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong?" I didn't know what to say. And especially because she was asking me with my father standing right there staring at me, I was frozen. I couldn't say anything. I just disappeared into myself. So even when we pick something up, how do we talk to our kids in a way that they can answer, right? This is the education that we need. So when you're thinking back on your own childhood and these moments, how might having the words shape the way you've carried responsibility into adulthood? Or how might that have shifted? And not to look at your own experience around that as a as you know respond like you didn't tell, so it's your responsibility, but how we can actually work together to give these words to children that are coming after us. So we want to rewrite this. We want to say children often don't tell, not because it didn't happen, but because they don't have the words, they don't feel safe, or they carry a shame that was never theirs to carry. So the responsibility really belongs to us as adults to learn how to tell. And I often, when I'm working with people, I talk to people, I let them know that I was sexually abused by my father. And often people will just share with me that happened to me too. And this is the first time I've ever told anyone. And so this is a really important conversation to have is how do we tell? How do we bring this forward so that we can start working on the patterns underneath the abuse to get freedom from how those impact us, those patterns impact us in our adult lives. So just like this myth creates confusion about responsibility in childhood, there's another one that can show up a little later in our healing journey, and that's an idea that if you're really healing, you won't struggle anymore. That was not my situation at all. Healing, there's still struggle. So this myth that many survivors carry often silently is because of what happened to me, I'm powerless to create a healthy life, to create healthy relationships. So it can sound like this. I'll never have a healthy relationship. Or this is just the way I am because of what happened. Or I'm too damaged to ever change. Or it can even be like whys, like why does this keep happening? This is really common. If you've been in more than one relationship, you may notice that there's something that is consistently happening in these relationships. And the why does this keep happening? Instead of that question turning into shame about why it's happening, let it motivate you to get support, to understand the patterns underneath it and the foundation of what those patterns are built on, so that you can change those patterns and have healthy love in your life. So this particular myth is really dangerous because it mixes truth with a lie. Yes, the abuse was not your fault. You didn't choose it. You couldn't control it. No matter what the circumstances are around the actual abuse, but the myth twists that truth into something paralyzing. And it sounds something like this: because of what happened to me, I'm doomed for these patterns to keep repeating. And even more difficult is the belief I'm powerless to change it. And that's where survivors can get stuck. So here's the distinction. Fault is not the same as responsibility. The abuse, the betrayal, the secrecy, none of that was your fault. But the impact it left behind, the beliefs it planted, the triggers it created, the patterns that keep showing up in our adult lives, well, those are now our responsibility. This is now your responsibility, not because you caused them, but because you're the only one who has the power to shift them. We didn't cause them, but we're the ones who have the power to shift them. Let me give you some examples. For example, in relationships, I used to attract emotionally unavailable partners over and over and over again. I could have told myself this is just my fate because of what happened. But when I look closer, I realize I'm reenacting this old wound, choosing people who couldn't really show up because it felt familiar and safe. My responsibility wasn't to blame myself for the abuse. It was to recognize the belief driving that pattern and begin interrupting it. And I can show you how to do that if you want that level of support. Crack the code. So, in family dynamics, maybe you've noticed how hard it is to set boundaries with family members or even friends. Because if there's denial or minimization of what happened, it's easy to slip into, I can't change this. It's always going to be this way. But responsibility here means that you're saying something a little different. I choose how I show up now. I have the power to learn how to decide what I will and won't tolerate, even if it's hard. So then at work, and again in friendships, some survivors will hold back their voices, not speaking up in meetings, not asking for what they need, because the old belief says if I show myself, I'll get hurt. I'll get in trouble. I mean, you fill in the blanks. If I do this, if I speak up, if I use my voice, what's going to happen? For me, I stopped the abuse when it happened. I stopped it by speaking up, by saying no, and then I didn't have connection. So in that child's mind, the belief is that if I, speak up for myself, or I stand up for myself, or I protect myself, then that's going to lead to loneliness, and that's going to lead to, gosh, that's horrible, right? To be feel completely alone in the world. So the belief isn't your fault, but it's your responsibility to notice it and slowly practice a new way of being to dismantle that belief, because the belief arose from inside of a child's mind from something that happened, something horrible that happened, and it makes sense that you would think that way through that developing mind when at whatever age you were. But as adults, it's our responsibility to notice, oh, that's a belief that I created. It's not a truth that I don't matter. It's not a truth that I'm not safe. And it the actual truth is that I do matter. When I treat myself that I matter, then other people treat me the way that I matter as well. That I have the capacity to learn how to keep myself safe in the world. And to really bring forth the truth underneath that false belief that was created that honors your voice instead of silencing. And so, do you see a difference? Just notice when we stay inside of the myth, we live as if our past has the final word. But when we take responsibility for the future that we're creating, we reclaim authorship of our story. Responsibility means tending to the parts of us that are still hurting with compassion instead of criticism. It means reaching for help when we need it. It means practicing new choices, even small ones that align with the life and relationship that we truly want, and to keep doing that over and over and over again until it becomes our truth. Until it becomes the new way of being in the world, until it becomes the new belief that we have about ourselves, the truth of who we are. So for me, this shift was everything. When I realized my father's acknowledgement isn't what healed me, I realized that freedom wasn't something anyone else could hand me. It was something I had to claim. My responsibility wasn't to fix the past. It was to live into my future as the truest version of myself. So let's kind of rewrite this. Because of what happened, the truth is you carry scars, but you're not powerless. The past does not decide your future. You do. Your responsibility now is to care for yourself, to challenge those false beliefs that you created inside of the mind of that young child who obviously couldn't think anything else, and then to step into the freedom of becoming your true self. So when we really claim that kind of responsibility, we reclaim authorship of our story, and we stop waiting for someone else to set us free, and we step into the truth that freedom is already ours to claim. So here's something to think about. Where in your life are you still giving away your power to the past? And then when you identify that, what's one small step of responsibility you can take this week to reclaim it? Whether that's asking for support, telling yourself a new truth, and or practicing a different choice in your relationships. So one of the things that I'm in the process of doing right now with, the really coming back to the truth of who we are, the truest version of ourselves, is I'm working with Catherine Woodward Thomas and inside of a training program with her. I've helped her create some trainings in the past, and I'm assisting at a lower level this time, but I'm taking on some practice clients in this coach training program. And so if you're interested in breaking free from that, those false beliefs, and really, really living into the truth of the truest version of yourself, then reach out to me and I can get you into my calendar to see if we'd be a good fit for the practicum that's coming up. All right, so let me just name a few of the quieter myths. Ones that aren't always as loud, but they still pile responsibility onto survivors in ways that keep us stuck in cycles of shame. And so, beyond these bigger myths, are these quieter ones that don't shout so loud. They creep into the background of our lives and they shape how we see ourselves. And just like the others, these myths misplace responsibility, putting the responsibility on survivors where it never belonged, and keeping us stuck in shame. So let's look at a few. One is, hey, you should just forgive and forget. This myth shifts the responsibility for peace onto the survivor, as if it's our job to erase what happened so others can feel comfortable. Families, communities, or even our own inner voice may say, just move on already. I know I've felt that for sure. And but they can, that can make us feel like we're responsible for everyone else's comfort. Forgetting is not our responsibility. Forgetting, it's not about forgetting. I'll never forget what happened to me. What is our responsibility is learning how to relate to our story in a more empowered way, in a way that feeds us power instead of keeps us in that powerless place. So real healing is remembering without reliving and choosing to honor ourselves as we carry what happened. And today, I mean, I don't know, 40 some odd years, 40 plus years later, I mean, I'm living, this is living through me in a different way. It's turned into my, I've heard somebody say, your mess is your mess is your message. I think I heard that from Janet Atwood. But I can't quite remember. Your mess is your message, so that you know, eventually over time, the most difficult things that happen to you are things that you can turn into your gold. So let's just rewrite that and say that forgetting is not a measure of strength. Your strength lies in your in taking responsibility for not erasing the past, but to care for yourself in the present. And then another myth is that survivors are broken forever. And this myth tells us that no matter what we do, we'll always be damaged, that it's our identity. I am the broken one. I am the abused one. But this is a false burden. The truth is that we are not broken. If this happened to you, you are not broken. We are human beings who endured harm. The responsibility for the abuse lies with the abuser. Again, our responsibility now is to not stay small, but to nurture our wholeness, to grow, and to reclaim the life that belongs to us. So, to rewrite this myth, you are not broken. Your responsibility is not to accept damage as your identity, but to cultivate the freedom and growth that is rightfully yours. So each time we name any of these myths, we let go of responsibility that isn't ours and reclaim our power through taking responsibility for what is ours. And having a healthy perspective is one of those responsibilities. So let's look at a couple reflection questions, just something for you to think about. Which of these myths have you carried? And what would shift if you laid down that burden and instead took up the responsibility for caring for yourself, trusting your truth, and choosing your freedom? Good questions to contemplate, huh? So let's bring all this together and close with some truths to carry forward. Today, we looked at some of the biggest myths that survivors of childhood sexual abuse and childhood trauma in general face. And if you notice, every single one of them has something to do with responsibility being misplaced. So, myth number one said that if the person who harmed us takes responsibility, then we should somehow be healed. But their words can't erase the impact. Our responsibility isn't to be instantly healed. It's to walk our own path to freedom, to take responsibility for the life that we want to create, the future that we want to create, and start stepping into that. Myth number two says that children will always tell or their parents will automatically know. But kids often carry false responsibility for what was done to them. And the truth is that responsibility never belonged to the child. So we now as adults need to take the responsibility for learning how to communicate these things, ask the questions that get kids to answer, and to teach our children how to tell. And then myth number three said that because of what happened, we have no power over our future. But the truth is, while the abuse was never our fault, our responsibility now is to choose how we respond, how we heal, and how we live into the future that we deserve. So this is the exact thing that I'll be working on in the True You Coach Training Program if you want to consider being a Practicum client. If any of this resonates with you, then you can reach out to me at leilareyes.com on my website. There's a place you can send me a message, leilareyes.com, and let's see if it would be a fit for you to be a Practicum client. So these subtler myths, forgiving and forgetting and being broken forever, they only pile responsibility onto survivors that these responsibilities never belonged to us. But we have to interpret. We have to move forward and interpret more correctly than the young mind when we were young and we interpreted through a younger mind. So, do you see any patterns? Myths aren't random. They all work to keep us trapped in shame by shifting responsibility away from where it belongs. And whether it's shifting it away from where it belongs, whether it's shifting it away from the abuser onto us, or from us to the abuser, right? So, when we believe these myths, we carry weights that were never ours to begin with. So here's the truth that I want you to take with you today. Number one, the responsibility for abuse always lies with the abuser. Always. No matter what happened, no matter what you felt during the abuse, no matter what you thought during the abuse, no matter what you did before, during, after, always the abuse lies with the abuser. The responsibility for silence, secrecy, or shame, not yours. Not yours at all, never yours. Now, the responsibility for healing is yours, always. And that doesn't mean you caused the harm. It means you're the one who has the power to change how it lives in you. You just have to learn how to do that. And I'd love to show you how to do that. And your responsibility is your false responsibility of carrying blame, shame, or the burden of other people's comfort. Your true responsibility is choosing to care for yourself, to interrupt old patterns, to keep becoming the truest version of who you are, remembering the truest version of who you are. So take a breath with me here and let yourself feel the difference between these two, the misplaced responsibility and properly placed responsibility, true responsibility. Which one do you want to carry forward? Which one? As you go into this next week, I invite you to reflect. Where have you been carrying responsibility that was never yours? And what would shift if you laid that burden down? And then the next question to contemplate is, what responsibility is yours to claim? Responsibility that brings you freedom, not shame. And then always, always, always remember, you don't have to do this alone. If you want support in rewriting these old stories, you can find resources on my website, leilareyes.com, in my book, Freedom from Shame, or by joining me for a relationship breakthrough session. Maybe that's where you'd see if being a True You Practicum client would work for you. But this is where we would explore how to move from false responsibility into true freedom. What steps can you take? And here's the deepest, deepest truth about whatever happened to you, whatever abuse there was. You should have been protected. It wasn't your fault. What happened to you was not your fault. And breaking free is responsible. Breaking free is possible. I know that breaking free is your responsibility. It's possible through taking responsibility for aligning yourself with the future you want to create. And so, thank you for being here with me today, for listening. I hope that something resonated with you that wakes you up out of the trance of that false belief about who you are and false responsibility, and into you taking full responsibility so that you can create the life and the love and the healthy relationships that you deserve. Until next time, take gentle care of yourself and keep stepping into the freedom that's already yours.